Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday, I was answering our second question related to our marriage, divorce, and remarriage series. And today, by God's grace, we'll finish that question.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
That is why there is one place in which I would differ with you is your statement. You said remarriage to a first spouse is not always an abomination. That was the law which Jesus came to change, as Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 24, not Jesus. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 10 also, we look at that, we see some things that go along with it. Well, my friend, remarriage to a first spouse is not wrong if he didn't remarry someone else. But if he did remarry, then you cannot go back to him. Now, I stand on those words of Jesus on this account. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 19, Jesus says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now remember, all scripture is given by the Holy Spirit. He breathed out every word for the men to write in both the Old Testament and the New. And this may be a surprise for you, but as we read there in Matthew, Jesus did not do away with the law. Again, Jesus did not do away with the law. Instead, he fulfilled it. That is why we do not offer sacrifices or the ceremonial law, for he is the fulfillment of all. But we do honor parents. We do not steal. We do not bear false witness. And it's still wrong to lust, commit adultery, etc. Moses said what he said under the Holy Spirit. In other words, he just repeated the words the Holy Spirit breathed out to him. Every word was God-breathed. Jesus said heaven and earth would pass away before the law does. Well, we still have heaven and earth. Jesus has fulfilled the requirement of the law that he might be the payment for sin and for all sin, in that he also became the sin offering for us. Even in the book of Romans, the law is still called holy. So I would not teach anyone to break the least or greatest of these commandments, as did the Pharisees and others. So yes, it's still an abomination. Now, 1 Corinthians 7:10, I want to point out a common mistake by reading verses 10 through 12. It says, "And unto the married I command, and not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband, but if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, and not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away." Now, some mistakenly believe that Paul is writing his own opinion in verse 12. Whereas in verse 10, it is the Lord's words. Well, that's not it. Instead, verse 10 refers to what was already revealed in the Bible, revealed truth. This Bible that we have from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation chapter 22:21, look, that is not any part of it that is just Paul or anyone else's opinion. It is every part breathed out by God. So when Paul says, "Speak I and not the Lord," he's not saying that this is my opinion. He's telling us that this is new revelation, not something repeated from the old book. Now, most of what you go see in the New Testament, you can go back and confirm in the Old Testament. But no scriptures of private interpretation. So in verse 12, when he says, "Yet speak I, not the Lord," he is now dealing with new revelation that wasn't given before. Why? The old referred to people who were in the Lord. This is new, for it deals with one who is saved and the other who is not saved. Deuteronomy 24 is the Word of God, was the Word of God, and is still the Word of God. It's forever settled in heaven. Psalm 138 verse 2 says, when there was no New Testament as yet written on earth. It says, "Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Psalms 12, 6 and 7 tells us this word is preserved forever. Now, those two verses in Psalms is 1,000 years before Christ was on earth, so at least 1,000 to 1,100 years before the New Testament is completed, that these words are uttered. They didn't have on earth the New Testament written, and yet God has magnified his word above his name and preserved his word forever, not just till the New Testament. No, he's preserved his word forever. But magnified his word above all of his name, to think that at his name every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is a great name, and yet he's magnified his word above his name. Why? Because the word is our source of authority in all things. So don't think of any of the Old Testament as done away, and we no longer are obligated to the morals and principles or ethics and righteousness which it contains. That would be turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, as Jude, verse 4, condemns. It is always sin to give liberty to the flesh to fulfill its lust or desires instead of the spirit, and we end up, when we do give in to the lust, sin. Liberty never, never, liberty never justifies giving in to the lust of the flesh. Now, your letter closes out with the following statement, of which I have agreement with some of it and disagreement with other parts of it. Therefore, I think it is necessary for me to deal with your closing statement. With God, nothing is impossible. Please reconsider your stance. Why is a second or third marriage more important than the first just because it happened? Maybe God allowed it to make a change in a person, not because he blessed it and sanctions it. Well, I'm in full agreement that with God, nothing is impossible as according to the Bible. However, there are things that are. For example, it is impossible for God to lie or to do any other type of sin. Why? Because God is holy. I've had people come to me when their spouse slept with another to pray and ask God to make the ones they are with in adultery to be repulsive to one another, in order that they do not marry. God has answered that in several cases. Now, believe me, I have considered this stance of mine for over 40 years. I know it by the Bible, not by a philosophy. God does not sanction divorce and remarriage, particularly as happened in your husband's case. Free will keeps God from interfering in some cases. But because of his holiness, he does not sanction remarriage after one has been married to another, then goes back to their first spouse. That is abomination to God. And what God called an abomination to him in the Old Testament is still an abomination. For example, homosexuality. God forgives it, but it is not his first will. Now, let me close by saying this. I cannot feel the fullness of the pain that you've had to endure, nor the wound that you carry. But I do believe that God can sustain you through it all, for as you said, with God nothing is impossible, and he can meet your every need. But more than that, I believe that God is real and he can minister to your heart. He knows the pain and wound that you have, for he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. He has given us his Holy Spirit as a comforter. Get to know him so well that his voice in your heart will be even more familiar than your former spouse's voice was to your ear. Your husband has carried out the act of what the dictionary would properly identify him as: a slut. And that's not a slang word. That is a word that describes what he has done. If he repents what God has cleansed, call it not common nor unclean. I closed out the letter there to her. And some of you may say, Pastor, you should have been a lot harder on that. Look, most of you don't know the pain that she's been through, and I can't say I do, but I can say this. I've had people I've known that said, I've been up at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning standing in my shower just bawling so that no one would see me. I've had others tell me they were driving down the road and they were in another town and didn't realize it. And there is a scar, there's a pain in the heart that's like a man who's had his leg badly damaged, and he must limp the rest of his life. From whatever that accident was, he limps the rest of his life, and he'll get on with life and be able to go on with life, but he'll always have that limp. That lady will always have that pain in her heart. Don't be quick to condemn. Let's always take the high road in something like that.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.